Amen.
God is the Lordship of God over all.
down here in the cave, in our confusion, our scattered hearts, our restlessness, even our angry insistence that we're just fine, thank you, the way we are, and we don't need any help. They meet us also where we are, when we're too frightened to think what may be coming for us, what might be required of us if we take Jesus by the hand and follow him up into the sun. So what does Jesus tell us in this parable of the kingdom today? Well, the kingdom, he says, is like a wheat field. A farmer sowed good seed one morning, but someone up to no good sowed weeds after dark. And they all grew up together, and by the time anyone noticed all the weeds out there in the wheat, it was too late to do anything about it. The farmhands go to the farmer and say, "Do you want us to go and pull up all those weeds?" And the farmer says, "No, just leave them there. Let them all grow. If you pulled up the weeds, you just wind up pulling the wheat along with them. When the harvest comes, we'll sort it all out. We'll burn up the weeds, we'll gather up the wheat into the barn. Until then, I want you all just to wait." Well, how many of you have ever had a garden, or have worked on a farm, or have had a backyard? Probably almost all of them. And if you have, you probably appreciate how counterintuitive this advice sounds. What? Leave the weeds alone? Just leave them there? But if you leave them, won't they just suck up the water and the nutrients that the crop needs? Weeds aren't good for anything. They aren't grass, they aren't carrots, they aren't wheat, they aren't anything you want. They just suck the life out of the stuff you do want. I happen to grow up on an actual wheat farm in North Dakota, and I spent many hours with my dad driving around inspecting the fields as they grew. And I can testify that having a field full of weeds was a source of some shame. It implied that you were probably a lazy, incompetent farmer. You weren't going to get yourself out of bed and do anything about the weeds. What's more, it meant you weren't going to have much of a harvest that year. You'd probably wind up losing money with a field full of weeds. In biblical times, it would have meant not having bread, not having food, possibly. So, it was a serious kind of thing. And as an ex-farmhand myself, I can just imagine those kinds of thoughts running through the minds of those impatient farmhands. What did that terrible farmer we worked for? Can't we at least go up and give it a shot? We can't bear to live with these weeds. They're ruining everything. We're ashamed to show our faces in town. What kind of way to run a farm business, anyway? Just letting the weeds grow. Not to mention from the story last week, scattering perfectly good seed all over the place, on the rocks and the weeds and wherever. It's a waste. Well, I can just imagine those farmhands standing there grumbling with their hands in their pockets, forced to just sit there on their hands for months and look at all those weeds just growing in their perfectly good field. Their impatience bubbling up into anger, maybe even rage. with this guy who, on the one hand, scatters seed in any old place, lets the weeds grow up, seems careless. And then when the harvest comes, he's all business. Instead of just appreciating the weeds that he let grow, he cuts them down and burns them. Apparently, it's the kind of farm that you see only in the strange new world of the kingdom of heaven. What was Jesus trying to tell us here? Well, I don't know about you, but I often find it easier to act like those farmhands than like the farmer. I find it easy on the one hand to want to run out and just start pulling out weeds, tired of bothering them, angry at the damage that they're doing, and confident that I know what's the weed and what's the weed. One of the warnings that's terrible, however, is that it's not always the difference, easy to tell the difference between the weed and the weeds. Jesus here is probably referring to a kind of weed that was called darnel, that looks very much like wheat. So, in the kind of rage for order and a weed-free field and justice at any cost, it would be hard for a farmhand to avoid pulling out some good and innocent wheat now and then. That's on one hand. On the other hand, I also find it easy at times to just shrug my shoulders at the weeds all around me, or to avoid looking too closely. Ignorance, after all, is bliss, so they say. Go along to get along. Oh Lord, I might say, bless this mess. We're all in it together, and no one's perfect. But the parable doesn't let me say this, I think. It has two warnings against it. For one, we have to remember that the weeds really are weeds. They truly do oppress and destroy God's good wheat field. And they were blinded by the enemy. If reading the newspapers and living our daily lives isn't enough to show us that the good wheat in this world is all too often choked and parched by enemy powers, Jesus is here to remind us. The second point is that the farmer really does mean business. If you, let's say, build your life on the backs of others, or if you live for yourself and you take what you can from those around you, you can get it. This parable says there's a judgment coming. The kingdom of heaven will come in its fullness when the harvest comes, and there will be a day of reckoning for all the enemy powers to steal and kill and destroy. So we dare not make peace with that against which God has set his face. But what do we do then? What would Jesus have us do? And what do we do if we look around at our neighborhoods, at our homes, Gospel of John, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus, you see, looks out at the field where everybody else sees weeds. Weeds, nothing but terrible, hopeless, ugly weeds. You know what he sees? He sees a wheat field, full and beautiful, waving in the wind and shining in the sun. He himself became the weeds and was thrown into the fire so that we all might be planted again in good, rich soil and put down roots and grow up tall with strength in our limbs and joy in our faces. You can grow again. We can grow again. It's not